You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This topic is an interesting one, and it's Nogeh Halach Lamaisa to everybody, and people sort of hear things, but they don't know the precise reasons behind it, and that is Mechiras Chametz. Am I supposed to sell everything I have, only my, should I even sell my Chametz Gomer, should I not sell Chametz Gomer, what is Chametz Gomer? Is Mechiras Chametz something that I should avoid? I should only use as a backup? Is it something I could use l'chatchila? If I have a half-eaten box of Cheerios, is anybody in their right mind actually going to eat, going to buy from me a half-eaten or a three-quarters-eaten box of Cheerios? You know, a bag that has, you know, a quarter of a bag of pretzels. Is any guy in his right mind going to actually buy that from me? So what I want to talk about is really one word. And that's the word of ha'arama, trickery. Legal loophole, legal fiction. And that's the question, in a certain sense, that people raise when it comes to Mechiras Chametz. When somebody wants to say that it's not like, they don't mean it for real, it's not gonna, it doesn't really work. Because it's just like a Mechiras Chametz. You know, it doesn't really do anything, it just takes care of whatever you need to take care of without really actually changing anything for real. So that's not a healthy way to use the words. So let's start. I'm going to mention to you a Tosefta that I think we mentioned in the past, so we won't really dwell on Tosefta. I want to go through only three or four sources tonight, but each one has meat to share with us. Historically, we have a precedent for selling chametz to a guy and buying it back right after Pesach from an explicit Tosefta. As we mentioned previously, if somebody going on a boat trip for the duration of Nisan and he's going to be on the boat for Pesach, and if he sells all of his chametz to the guy before Pesach, he's going to starve to death after Pesach. He's on a boat. There's no replacement of the food stuffs that he sold to the guy. So he's allowed to arrange with the guy, I'll sell it to you now, and wink, wink, I'll probably be able, I'll probably give you a good price after Pesach to buy it back from you. Wink, wink. That's an explicit Tosefta that says that you could do that. So with that in mind, let's also see, that's a Tosefta. Let's look at the Trumas Hadeshen, early Rishon and Ashkenaz. Not so early, actually, but he presents it very clearly. The guy has chametz, and it's difficult for him to get rid of it, and he wants to give it to a guy outside of his house, b'matana gemura. Those are important words. It's a guy outside of his house, and it's matana gemura. Va'oso nachri ha'yisrael makira, shlo yigab ben klal. And you know this guy. In fact, he's been your driver, or your who knows what, or for the past who knows how many years. He knows how to play the game perfectly well. He's not going to touch it. El yishmeri lo ad alachar pesav yachsev yitnalo. And you know, and he knows that after Pesach, he's going to hold on for you. He's going to hold on to it. It's going to be in his basement. He won't touch. And right after Pesach, he'll knock on your door and he'll say, "Mr. Cohn, Mr. Friedman, Rabbi Orlean, here's your chametz. You know, here it is, right back." So I give him a matana. He's going to give back to me as a matana. Is this okay? Says the Shuvas Hadeshan. It looks like a game, doesn't it? Yira Deshari. It's totally mutter, except as long as it's a matana without any tanai. Or it was a mechira, but there shouldn't be a tanai. Where do we find this idea that even if you don't intend to keep it? Well, we see from the Gemara Gittin that if you give something, if I give something to you with the intent that you're not going to be holding on to it, but you're going to be giving it back you're giving it back to me immediately, that's also called a matana. Good. Not only that, but let's say I give my wife a get, and the get is given to her matana amanas lahachzir, so it's a proper nesina. I give her the piece of paper on the condition that she has to give it back to me. That means this get is not going to stay by her. Did that work? Yeah, it works. V'sharinu ni'isha al yidei matana ki ha'gavna. Gemara Gittin says that even for a get isha, which is right, chiv kares, eshes ish, even there, will be makel and allow matan amanas lahachzir. Yeah, forget about Kohan, right. And just like we're makel over there, so too we will be makel by chametz as well. So we're not going to actually talk about, if it's a real matan amanas lahachzir, we'll give it to you on the condition that you have to give it back. That far we're not going to go. We don't want it to be neither by Isha nor by chametz are we going to say that it's I'm giving it to you a matan, I'm menas, you must return it back to me. But if it's just you give it to me, I'm giving you a get, and you'll give it back to me, the paper back to me, or I'm going to give you the chametz, and you give the chametz back to me after Pesach, that deal is totally fine. That is the Trumas Hadesha.
Why is he doing it?
That's a different. Why is it different? I don't need to know why. That's what he does.
That's crazy.
So that's as far as one historical precedent. The Trumas Hadesha is cool. It says this game is fine. But now we get into the real action. The real action starts with this discussion in a Bechor Shor. Bechor Shor lived, I think, in the early 1700s. And he has a commentary on Psachim as well as a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And he has a pet peeve. You know what he's really annoyed with? Look at the length of his shiloh. It's a 7-line shiloh that he asks, that he says that he doesn't like. He says, you know what the modern Rabbanu, you know what they started doing? They started selling not only the chametz, that we were selling chametz for years and generations and decades and millennia, not millennia, centuries we've been selling chametz. But you know what they want? They started selling recently? Well, if you have there's actually a rabbi. Oh, you know who's done this before? Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, who's our scholar in residence this Shabbos. I was once at a Mechiras Chametz with a number of Rabbanim, and he was one of the Rabbanim, and he did this. Mamish, this case I'm about to say. Somebody in his community in Washington Heights had a pet. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was like a gerbil or some kind of unusual pet. Gerbils are not so unusual. And the pet could only eat Chametz. Could only eat chametz. You can't give it a corn substitute, a soy substitute, a grain substitute, right? We're not worried about kidneys when it comes to animals. They could eat kidneys. They could be they're no worse than Svardim. No offense to any Baruch Hashem and Svardim here tonight. Okay, I'm safe. But chametz, it's not that they can't eat. It's that you're getting benefit by the chametz. If you feed chametz to your animals, so your animal is getting fed and nourished and fattened by chametz. That's also the Araisa Yisr chametz. Yisr Hana. So Rabbi Ezra Schwartz will be the Shabbos, acted as a shliach for his balabas and his shul, to sell the gerbil itself to the Kohen. I'm sorry, to the guy. Yeah. No offense. To the Gentile. Sell the gerbil itself to the Gentile, or whatever animal it was. And the Gentile now owns both the chametz as well as the gerbil. Mm-hmm. Now, who's getting hana? Well, it's not the guy's not getting hana from the eating of his animal, because it's not his animal anymore, it's the guy's animal. So there's no hana anymore. Sounds fishy, right?
He could put the loose meat in the cage. Right.
Who?
The Jew.
No.
After this sale?
Yeah. On Chalamay.
Okay, I don't want to get into that. But that was the Shiloh that the Bechor Shor discussed. He says the modern poskim in the 1700s started doing this crazy thing. They started selling the animals themselves to the guy, because they want to make sure that their animals will be stuffed and fattened, and they get fattened better if they eat chametz. I guess they gave them grain or oats or grits, I guess. Grits, right? Grits. It's all about eating the grits. So, no, Michael Behem is not a... What?
Yeah, now you can't let the animal on Shabbos. It's not yours anymore.
Okay, we're talking about big oxen. I don't think he was worried about lifting them. So look what he says. Mashachichu k'tzat sofriz manei limkor la'akam behemos shalo. And gam chametz. So you're selling them the mechiras chametz as well as the behemos, and these animals are going to eat the chametz all day long, all Pesach long. And after Pesach, guess what? You're going to get your chametz back, of course, and also get your oxen back. Now he says in the third line, "I never saw this done. Miyom elor isikach, especially in my city, where you know what the main business of my city was? Schnapps. And what did you do with the?" What did they do when they would take the vinegar? They would take the, how do you make schnapps? You take grain, you ferment it. Somehow it makes schnapps. And what do you do with the remaining grain? You know what they do with it? They feed it to the animals. Right, so in our city, which the main economy in our city was making schnapps, and they would take the leftover grain from the schnapps manufacturing, and they would fan the behemoths. Even in our city, I never saw them do this. They would all sell their chametz to Goyim, but I never saw them sell their animals to Goyim. So how come you, new modern Rabbanim, are set, and you know what would happen? You know what happened? The animals, taka, wouldn't eat chametz for Pesach, and they'd be weak for 2 or 3 weeks. The animals would be weaker for 2-3 weeks after Pesach. And it would take them 2-3 weeks to get back to themselves. And that's what we did all the generations. And now these new Modernish Rabbanim want to do a Mechira on the behemoths also, to enable the animals to be owned by a guy, and therefore it's not considered a Hanah for you to feed the animal the chametz, because the animal is not a Jewish animal, so therefore it's no direct benefit to you. And how come the earlier generations have the same problem, yet they never involved themselves in selling animals to Goyim? You see clearly from his question, and this is a very important point that I'm making now, that he realizes and recognizes that Mechiras Chametz has been done and is fine. He's just questioning the fact that in addition to the Mechiras Chametz, this new Modernish Rabbanim also started selling the behemoths as well to get rid of the additional Isra, the separate Isra of Hanah from Chametz on Pesach. Remember, Pesach on Chametz on Pesach has numerous Isurim. One is, of course, Achila. We're not talking about that tonight. The other is Bayirah Bayim Matzeh. We are talking about that. You can't own it. And separate and apart from that, you're not allowed to derive benefit from the Chametz on Pesach, even aside from owning Chametz. So they're trying, these new Rabbanim are trying to solve that new problem of selling, of deriving benefit by simply getting rid of your animals for the duration of Pesach and then getting them back. That's his question. How did these Rabbanim do that? And he in fact says that it is not okay. And when you read the critiques that he has about this modern suggestion that some Modernish Rabbanim were instituting in his time, you see that some of his critiques are not just about selling behemoths themselves, but he sets up for us some very interesting perspectives of how he looks about Mechiras Chametz in general. And that's what's going to scare us. Not that I think any of you have oxen that you want to feed grains to on Pesach, but based on this tshuva, we're going to see what he holds, not a tshuva, but this piece, we're going to see what he holds about Mechiras Chametz in general. We're going to see some fascinating things, some fascinating limitations.
My ox is grass-fed.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So, look at the top of page 2. Amarati lo dami lo hadadi klal. He says, the sale of chametz and the sale of animals are totally different. And I'll tell you why. And here he sets up with a bomb. He says, Mi'ikar d'dina pircha mechiras chametz hanog. I have a fundamental question, a bomb question, on the very mechiras chametz that we do. After all, mechiras chametz is a game. Sell it to the guy and buy it right back a week later. It's a game. How do you say game in Hebrew? It's a harama, it's a trickery. It's a milsa, the second line, it's a milsa de harama tuva. Shizakona, the guy who buys the chametz, the guy who buys our chametz, do you think he's accustomed to buying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of chametz regularly? You think he's in the business of, he's in the wholesale, you know, grocery distribution? I assume, I assure you, that there's probably not more than 1% of all goyim who buy chametz who are in the grocery distribution business. And yet, all of a sudden this week, they're all going to be buying these large hundreds of thousands of groceries and schnapps from various communities. And rabbis are not exactly in the business of selling either, and neither are balabatim in the business of selling their Cheerio boxes regularly. When's the last time you sold a Cheerio box? Or your box of pretzels? Or granola bars? When's the last time you did that? And all of a sudden this week you are? And then you're going to happen to get it back the next week. So you're really serious about this?
The story has it in Lakewood that the guy came to the rabbi, Yomtiv, and he says, Rabbi, you sold me the whiskey, right? I want some of it. The rabbi took him to one of the Baal Batim's house and reported himself.
Yeah, we did that last year. We did that here in this neighborhood too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who initiated?
Rabbi Feiner and I.
Who initiated the
Oh, rabbi? We did, not the guy.
Yeah, this one did.
Okay, good for him. Elanir Ali, look at what the Bechor Shor sets down, and this is the key line. This is the most important line of the Shir, actually. Nir Ali says the Bechor Shor, what kind of Isser are you trying to solve with you when you do Mechiras Chametz? The halacha is that when you own Chametz, you have an Isser D'oraisa of owning Chametz. You have to get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? There are numerous ways you can get rid of it. You can make yourself not own it by being mafkirit, by doing bittul on it, by selling it. You could also get rid of your ownership of the chametz by doing a bittul chametz. Once you do bittul chametz, it's no longer yours, but you still have to physically get rid of it. That's the halacha. That's why even though we do bittul, we still have to do bedika and get rid of the chametz from our homes. Says the Bechor Shari, he says something incredible. You know why this trickery works? Because anyway, the only time that Mechiras Chametz works, Mechiras Chametz only works on Chametz that you did Bittul on. Once you did Bittul on that Chametz, you no longer really own it. It's no longer really something that you care about. You did Bittul on it. And therefore you only have a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan to get rid of it now. Since you only have a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan to get rid of it, therefore, guess what? That's where Mechiras Chametz could work. Mechiras Chametz could work, even though Mechiras Chametz is only a trickery, it's only harama, for an Issa D'Rabbanan, only Chametz, after you do the Bittul, is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, that will allow trickery, will allow this play game, will allow this legal fiction, this game called Mechiras Chametz, this harama. That's the Chasam Sofer's question, Mr. Kloney. Yeah. Chasam Sofer says, what do you mean? We don't do Bittul. But let me take your question a step further, a giant leap further. If you do Bittul first, that means... Exactly. That's the Chasam Sofer's question. If you do Bittul already, then it's not yours. So how in the world are you doing Bittul and then you're going to do Mechiras Chametz?
That one I have an answer for, because Hefker remains in your Rishos anyway until somebody else picks it up. So therefore, mitzad that would work.
That's a very interesting point that the Ran and the Ktos talk about, that Hefker here is a different kind of Hefker. That's a good. The Ran asks your question. That maybe nobody took it yet, so your bittul, if it's a hefker, no one took it yet.
Right, the bittul is like the
hanging.
Right, I was
going to
say.
Mitzvah Tully, okay, I hear that. I hear that at Ha'ara. So, look at the second line of the underlined lines. Since you did bittul, and therefore you took care of what? The Yerisud Raisa of Oni Chametz. Therefore, Lo Nishar Kiyim Yerisud Rabbanan, Shetzarch Levar Min HaOlam. You only have an Yerisud Rabbanan to get rid of your Chametz. Once it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, they were willing to give you this ha'arama, this trickery, this legal fiction, this game called Mechiras Chametz, to take care of your Issa D'Rabbanan. If we stop here, guess what? If we stop here, you know what it's saying? It's saying that Mechiras Chametz shouldn't work. Here he's not talking about the animals. Here he's talking about Mechiras Chametz fundamentally. Mechiras Chametz shouldn't work on an Issa D'Raisa. Because Chametz that you own and that you would violate an Issa D'Raisa of owning, he says to get rid of it through Mechiras Chametz. It's a game, it's a harama. And he brought a number of proofs, which we're not going into, that this constant making trickery, of doing trickery, of playing games, of finding legal loopholes, only works for dinim de Rabbanan, not dinim de Raisa.
I'm going to say hopefully the right way. The harama only happens after Pesach. The harama doesn't happen. So in other words,
you're making a good point. You're saying that the harama was not in the mechira. The harama is what you do afterwards by bringing it back.
So
what I think he would answer, what I think he's saying is that since when you sell it in the first place, you're selling it with an intent, knowing that he's not going to touch it, he's going to give it right back to you.
You don't want that chametz.
No, you don't want it today. But you don't want, if I would tell you that you have this bottle of schnapps that you love, it's been your favorite bottle. In fact, you've had this since your wedding.
Right.
And every year you sell it to the guy and get it right back.
Right.
Sell the guy.
Right.
And if I told you that the guy happened to, drop it or drink it, you'd be very annoyed, wouldn't you be? Yeah, you'd be annoyed if he drank that bottle, right?
Well, came in the house and took it.
You wouldn't be happy if he drank that bottle. So why? Because, I sold it to him. I knew he wasn't going to touch it. He's going to get back to me. So that's the issue. That's the issue. You're right, it works. That's the first ha'ara. The first ha'ara of the Bechor Shor is that ha'aramas only work on Yisurim D'Rabbanan, and therefore, the only Mechiras Chametz that it could work on is the Chametz that you already mevatel, that's only Yisurim D'Rabbanan, that's where ha'arama would work. And therefore, what's his point? His point is that when it comes to selling the animals, that which your animal derives benefit from Chametz on Pesach is an Yisur Mideh, that's a Mideh Raisa. The Chametz, because the Yisur Hana of Chametz, whether you own it or not, your animal, you own, right?
Well,
hold on. You own your animal, you own your animal. And now that you own your animal. No. There's an Issa D'Oraisa called Hanah Michametz. Lo Yeachel. No, Yeachel means deriving Hanah from. We learn. That's what the Gemara says. It's an Issa D'Oraisa for you to derive benefit from. It's an Issa D'Oraisa for you to sell Chametz on Pesach. What is Issa D'Oraisa? You're getting benefit from Pesach, from Chametz.
Besides from Lo Yeachel.
Correct. Not Valyura, not only Chametz. We're not talking about only Chametz. We're not talking about eating Chametz. We're talking about only deriving benefit. Hana. Getting hana from chametz is an issa daraisa. That means if my animal eats chametz on Pesach, I get an issa daraisa. So even if I sold my chametz to the guy, but my animal is being fed chametz, that's an issa de oraisa. And therefore, says b'chor shar, if it's an issa daraisa, guess what? You can't do mechira's chametz. You can't do this mechira, this game, for an issa daraisa. So for the chametz, we could play, we could say this funny thing that only chametz that you're already mevatel, it's only issa rabbana, and the mechira will work. But on the animals, that the your animal is going to be eating chametz, and you are therefore deriving benefit from chametz because your animals are eating the chametz on Pesach, that remains an issa daraisa. And for an issa daraisa, we will not permit trickery, games, legal fictions.
You can't be bedel on your
animal. Right, don't do bedel on the animal. Yeah. So that's the main critique that the B'chor Shor has on this practice.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
That's the first critique that the B'chor Shor has on Mechiras Chametz. He has the real critique on the selling of the animals, but in the discussion of selling the animals, which is the main problem, you see how he's understanding Mechiras Chametz. He's understanding Mechiras Chametz works only because it's only Chametz, it's only Issa D'Rabbanan. If you really hadn't done Bittel yet, and you really own that chametz, which is sort of what we do. We sell the chametz. I sell the chametz before you did bittel. That would be selling chametz on a daraisa. The B'chor Shor would say that doesn't work. So according to the B'chor Shor, the mechiras chametz that I do is a harama. It's trickery on an issa daraisa because you haven't done bittel yet. And the B'chor Shor says you're not allowed to do such a mechiras chametz. We're in trouble. And the B'chor Shor says there are two more problems. Visu, look two ways, two thirds down the page. You see it says Visu in bold letters. Furthermore, he says, and I'll tell you another reason why it's a game. Not it's not only a game because we know what your plan is after Pesach. The whole point of ownership, what does ownership mean? Ownership means that it's yours. If it goes up in value, you gain. And if it goes down in value, you lose. That's the definition of ownership. Rabosai, let's say there would be, chas v'shalom, a fire in somebody's house, and his chametz pantry would go up in smoke. Who's going to bear that loss after Pesach?
That could be the guy.
It should be the guy. For you and I know that
he's
not going to be, he's not going to be losing any money because your pantry, somebody's pantry caught on fire.
Are you sure?
It
depends
what the agreement is. But we know what the agreement, how it works. We know. He's being very practical now. He's being very practical. He's saying, we know that the guy's not being real. You think the guy's really willing to take on this loss? When the guy, let's say, for example, somebody in the shul owns a grocery store or a large stake in a grocery store. And I'm selling, not that I am, but that's what other rabbis do. I'm stunned is that one of my friends has a wholesaler in his shul, and he's selling $200,000 worth of chametz. You think the guy, if something God forbid happened in that warehouse, you think the guy after Pesach is going to say, "Okay, I understand, I lost $200,000. Okay, hope, gamzu l'tova." Gamzu l'tova. What I do for the Jews, mamish. I hope they give me a nice, I hope they pray for me when they go to their temple, on this holiday, next holiday. Oh, come on, are you kidding? They're not going to. That's what the B'chor Shor's question. Listen, this is a haram. Oh, I'm sorry, he's saying a different point. He's saying, if the animal dies, he's talking about the animals again, is the guy really going to take the loss and lose the value of the animal?
Are you allowed to feed goy's animal chametz on Pesach?
You're not deriving benefit, right?
Well, I don't know.
You're not deriving benefit, so it should not be
in this case, if the animal belongs to the goy, and I give him the
chametz
too, and I do the feeding.
Right, so that was what actually happened with that case that I told you about.
Which case?
At the zoo.
At the zoo it's very dangerous. At the zoo you have a terrible, terrible michshol. At the zoo where they have, you put in a quarter and you get some feed for the... Right, that's terrible. That's an issa daraisa. So if you buy it, you just acquired chametz on Pesach. It's much an issa daraisa you get malchus on.
But if you're at the show,
if you're at the feed and you kick it a little bit,
feed the horse,
and you don't take it for yourself, you just feed the horse.
That's what I'm asking. What if your chametz You're from the time I take an IQ to an animal.
I don't know if that's certainly not an issue deraisa. It's certainly not an issue deraisa.
It should be in your possession.
But an animal, but you have to be getting
it. It's not your possession. It's not your possession.
If you're touching it, you're holding it.
Right. So we haven't found anywhere that it's also to touch chametz. There might be, it's also to touch your own chametz because you might come to eat it. Even if you're a mevatel and even if you're a mafkir.
You're right to touch someone else's chametz.
Do you go work in a bakery on Pesach?
A goyish bakery?
Yeah.
Well, there's a separate Isser Drabbanan that says that we want there to be mechitza between you and the chametz. No. Is that only a goy? Is that a goy's chametz? Between a Jew's chametz.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
So I don't remember. I'm sorry. I don't know.
That's basically what I was asking about.
I don't recall.
Can you feed an animal with chametz?
So now, that was the Bechor Shor's critiques of Mechir's chametz. And the main point is that he says that chametz, Mechir's chametz, should only work on chametz that you only own. That's only an Isser Drabbanan, not an Isser Daraisa. Hold on, please. This, gentlemen, is one of the sources for those who are machmir not to sell chametz gomer. What do I mean by that? If you have a thing of bread and you own it on Pesach, that would be an Isser Daraisa. According to this Bechor Shor, if it's an Isser Daraisa, you're doing Mechiras chametz on it. It's not cool. And we do the mechir before the bittul, so you didn't. You're not allowed to sell the chametz for that bread. Ah, let's say you have something like ketchup that has a little bit of wheat vinegar in it. There, since you don't have a kezayis of chametz bechdei achilas pras of the ketchup, you will not have an issur d'oraisa of owning that ketchup. And therefore, owning that ketchup would only be an Isser Mide Rabbanan. What do we call that? We call that Taruves Chametz, as opposed to Chametz Gomer. Chametz Gomer is complete Chametz, where there is a Kezayis. It doesn't have to be pure Chametz. It could be something like licorice, which has 60% flour and 35% corn syrup. So it's majority flour. It's not all flour, but it's not called Taruves. That is Chametz Gomer, I think. That's correct. Nevertheless, it's chametz gomer. I believe it's chametz gomer, and therefore it's an issur d'oraisa. And therefore, according to Bechor Shor, mechiras chametz wouldn't work. However, if you have lots of other products, meaning, let's say you have a potato kugel in the freezer that your wife made an extra potato kugel for Purim, and put it in the freezer. You don't need it; it's in the freezer, and it has a little bit of flour for the flavor, for the binding, for the texture, whatever it is, a little bit of flavor, a little bit of flour in it. That's okay. That's only Nisad Rabbanan. And therefore, the Bechor Shor would say, you could sell that. That's only Nisad Rabbanan. You could do Haram on that. Okay. That's where the Chumrah to not sell, that's one of the areas where we see the Chumrah not to sell Chametz Gomer from this Bechor Shor. Now, Rabbosai, a little bit after the Bechor Shor lived the Ketzos and the Nesivos. The Ketzos is more famous because his writing was a little clearer. But the Nesivos was the Gadol Hador, was the Posek Hador. The Nesivos that we're about to learn together in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Pesach is going to dissect every last line that we just read from the Bechor Shor and throw it away into the garbage. Every line he says. If you ever read a scathing book review, the way book reviews work is they take each point that the book makes and they show how it's not true. If it's a good critique of a book or some kind of debate, well, that's exactly what we're about to see. Every point that the Bechor Shor makes, right, that he just made, the Nesivos in his Sefer Makor Chayim, with Yaakov Milisa, from the city of Lisa, is going to destroy every point.
Right now, the Rav is a problem, right? Right now?
Right now, we're in trouble.
Is your song
here? Right now, we're in trouble because the Bechor Shor says that Mechiras Chametz does not work on Chametz Gomer. It does not work when you own Chametz Daraisa.
Because we're selling first.
Because we're selling first before the Bittul.
You can do
yeah, and the Chasam Sofer says that you can't do. What's the other option? Do the Bittul first? Chasam Sofer says that doesn't make sense because what's Bittul? Bittul means it's not yours anymore. How can you sell something if it's not yours anymore? So the only option is to do the Mechiras Chametz first when it's yours, and then afterwards, whatever's remaining in your possession, you do Bittul on. But then, according to the Bechor Shor, you can't do the Mechiras Chametz when you still own it to Raisa. So look what he says. So first of all, again, we're not going to go through all the points, and it's a longer piece, and I cut out a lot of it. He goes through the various proofs about Does Harama work? Does this legal fiction work for Deraisas, Derabanans? You know what the Nesivos concludes? That there can be Harama. You are sometimes allowed to do Harama on Deraisas. Top line. It's Tamuli, top of page 3. The Bechor Shor's words are very wondrous to me, that which he wrote, Harama in a Mutarak b'Derabanan. After all, Vade de Ma'arimin afilo mide. Oraisa, even by Doraisas, you are allowed to do that whole tenet, that whole fundamental tenet that the Bechor Shor tried to set forth, that you cannot do Mechilas Chametz on Chametz Doraisa, because it's Harama, because you can't do Harama on a Doraisa, wrong. You can do Harama on an Issa Doraisa. And he says, I'll tell you that. Okay, we're going to skip that point. He says something interesting. Why are you calling it a dinner? What's the harama here? What's the legal fiction? I'm selling it to the guy, and I know that the guy's going to sell it back, right? So tell me what is the exact point. What don't you like? What aspect do you think is not serious? That you're not serious about selling something? If you know you're getting it back, and therefore you really didn't sell it? He really didn't buy it.
You don't really want to sell it.
Is that you don't really want to sell it? Says the look at the next underlined part. What do we care if you do this trickery? After all, who owns the chametz?
The guy.
The guy owns the chametz. Kevin she'ena israk b'shalav. The israel only chametz is only if it's Jewish chametz. Ukshemakne b'kinyan l'nachri. Once you do a kinyan with the guy, guess what? It's now the guy's. Hare al karchach yatzim irshuso. And therefore, as somebody made this point before, was it Plony? When is the harama? Somebody said, when is the harama? The harama is only later. Was it you? Who said that the harama only happens later?
Oh,
it was Plony.
Yeah.
Plony Amoda. You're the one who said, what's the harama? The harama is only
after
Pesach. That's the Nesivos' claim. Borosha Kivanta. What do you care about the fact that he's going to give it back? I was marking it to the guy. It's now the guy's. Oh, the guy after Pesach is going to sell it back to me? But I don't care, because that's all dealing with the fact that it's after Pesach, and on Pesach it was his. So it left my rishus, and it was with a kinyan, and it's the guy, so it should be fine. And furthermore, he says even better, who decides after Pesach if he wants to sell it back? Me?
Default.
What?
By default.
No, it's not by default. That's not correct.
He doesn't come back with
that's not correct. The deal, every after the you don't. It's not so celebrated, but every rabbi meets with the guy after Pesach and buys the chametz back. Who's in control of that?
Oh, the guy.
The guy. Because you know what? If the guy decides not to meet the rabbi and not to sell the chametz back, guess what?
They make an announcement. You can eat the chametz at 9:30.
That means that the rabbi is meeting with the guy at 9:20.
That's assuming the guy goes through with it.
That is correct.
No,
okay, that's a different question. I don't want to get into that.
What's his incentive to go through with it?
See, he makes a few dollars.
And what if he doesn't come? When he gets drunk, he doesn't come.
Then the rabbi will work. So there's a safety valve that we put into our mechiras chametz that we're not going to go into now.
Okay.
That's a technical, practical suggestion. No, that's not that rama. So the Nesivos is saying what Mr. Plony Almoni said a moment ago, but he's taking a step further. He's saying that. Who is after the harama is that it's going back to you after Pesach. But at that point, who's making the decision? Whose call is it?
He's in control.
The guy's in control if he wants to or doesn't want to sell it back. That means what? If the guy's in control, that means who owned it? That means the guy owned it over Pesach, so you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Ha'ara.
Even though in your head you know you're going to get it back.
Right, but that doesn't matter. Since right now, but if he doesn't want to sell it back to you, it's in his hands to not. Sell it back to you. Okay. So therefore, it shows he owned it.
Every year for the past 2,000 years.
You're right. Every year for the past 900 years. Ever since we learned the Bach last week, that's in the 1600s, that's when this whole business started happening as the Jews got into the schnapps business for historical reasons. So in the past 500 years, the guy's been selling it back to me. Doesn't matter. However, you know what the Nesivos does conclude at the bottom of page 3? He does agree, not for the same reason, but you know what? Selling the animals to a guy, I think, would be a problem.
Yeah, what?
Selling the animals to the guy, Why did the Bechor Shor? You can't sell animals to the guy. Those modern rabbis are selling the animals to the guy because they don't want to have, hana, and you can't do that. It's a daraisa hana from chametz. Daraisa doesn't work. Bechirus chametz. This harama doesn't work on a daraisa. The Siv says, of course, I don't care about the harama. There's no harama here. There's a different reason why you can't sell the animals to a guy. Because listen to this. If I sell my animal to a guy on Pesach, before Pesach, thank you, before Pesach, of course, and I know that animal is coming back to me, it's the guy's animal, it's the guy's chametz, but I know that animal is coming back to me, so guess what? I got hana'a from that chametz. What hana'a did I get?
It's an investment.
Yeah, but it's an investment that's a secure investment. That I know that my stuff is going to come back stronger. So not that my animal is eating the chametz on Pesach, because he's not my animal on Pesach. But the fact that I'm getting it back after Pesach means that I'm being nana right now on Pesach from the fact that the animal that I'm going to get after Pesach is being fed chametz. So therefore, he says, that is a hana that you are deriving on Pesach, so therefore, you shouldn't be able to sell the animal.
It also would have the same properties as the bottle of schnapps that the person can't part with. Because if it's a pet that...
No, it's worse. It's worse. The bottle of schnapps is... Nothing's happening to the bottle of schnapps. It's just staying in abeyance. It's just in somebody's ownership. This ownership or that ownership? This ownership or that ownership? As opposed to with animals, the animals are mamish getting fed. The animal's not my animal. It used to be my animal. But next week it will be my animal. So therefore, I'm happy on third day of Chol HaMoed. I'm happy that right now, Bessie, who I love and I can't wait to see in a few days, is eating some real good grits.
I understand that, but I'm saying by a pet where there's an emotional attachment.
Don't get into it's not the emotional.
I want to have the cat, the dog, the hamster.
It's not the emotional. It's financial benefit. I know that after Pesach, I'm going to have Bessie, not because I love her, but because she's worth $8 a pound. So the more pounds she is, the more money I make. So I'm gaining now on Pesach. I'm happy that I'm gaining by the fact that it's not my. I don't own her anymore. But I'm gaining by the fact that the guy is feeding her. So that's like a hana that I'm deriving, even though it's not mine now. But I know that it's coming back to me. So that's like a gain that I'm gaining. Now let's finish off this shear.
For the gerbil, it doesn't matter. Because that's not going to make it. You're not going to be a valuable gerbil. There's no value for work.
I don't want to get into that. I don't know if I'd agree. Might be.
I was dealing with that question.
So hold on. Let's finish off with the Chasam Sofer on page 4. The Chasam Sofer makes the point, again, I said it earlier when we mentioned this before. He says that this whole argument of the Bechor Shor, that you have to, that Bechiris Chametz only works on Chametz that you were already Mevatel, he says, Memanavshach, second paragraph, Memanavshach. Ibitel kvar. If you already did what the Bechor Shor said, you did bitel, and only that you're going to sell. Imbitel kvar shuv eich mochel anachri masha kvar bitel vehifkir. Right. If you did bitel, and part of bitel is that you're mafkir, so how in the world are you going to be selling it to the guy the next day? Ve'imacha tchil kodesh bitel. If you sold it first, well then, that's a haram. It doesn't work. So therefore, he says, I don't agree with that premise of the Bechor Shor. He rejects it entirely, outright, and he says, nothing wrong with selling chametz, daraisa, it's a good sale, and therefore it's fine. He says, okay, there's one issue. Maybe a guy, if you do a chalipin with a guy, kine chalipin with a guy, maybe chalipin doesn't work for a guy. Why might chalipin not work for a guy? Where do we learn chalipin from?
Rus.
Well, does anyone know the pasuk in Rus over there in Chalipin from? I'll tell you the first three words. Vizos, that's the end of the pasuk. Vizos hatuda b'Yisrael. This is the way they do it b'Yisrael. Kishalaf ishna alav v'nasal re'ehu. You take off your shoe and you take off an item, you give it to somebody else. What was the third word? Zos hatuda. This is the way they do it in Yisrael. So it could be that Chalipin is only a kinyan that works for Jews. And therefore, for a guy, maybe chalipin doesn't work. So he says, okay, the Chasam Sofer says, okay, so maybe kinyan chalipin won't work for a guy. That's another question. That's a question of which kinyan to work. That's not this shir. It's a different shir. And finally, the second to last paragraph, he says, you know what? And I'm so confident in Mechiras Chametz that I'm not even going to be bothered by another question that people ask. What's the average net value of the typical guy who purchases chametz for Pesach. In most shuls, he is the janitor of the shul. And many shuls have balabatim with wine cellars of very fine scotches, single malts, double malts, that are probably a lot more than the net worth of the janitor who's buying their chametz. So how in the world could this be a real sale when the guy who's buying it can't afford any of it? What kind of joke is this? As the chassid servant, it doesn't bother me. I'll call upon him Yeshlomar. So first of all, he says that they sell it, that in the shtar it's written, it doesn't, we don't make a deal with the guy. Say, I'm going to sell you my chametz for, you know, 5 cents on the dollar. No, we sell it at value. He doesn't pay all up front. Let's say I'm selling him $100,000 worth of chametz. Right now he'll give me like $100. And after Pesach, he'll owe me the remaining $99,990 when the time comes for him to pay it back. And of course, he has the option to pay back either in cash or in chametz, which is what he's going to do, right? He's just going to give back the chametz. That's how we work the finances. But it's not that I'm saying, oh, I have $100,000 of chametz, and I'm going to be nice. I'm going to sell it to you. I wanted to get rid of it. So I have to get rid of it fast. It's like a sale. I have to go in, I'm losing my lease. I have to get rid of all my inventory by fire sale. I have to get rid of my inventory by, 10:14 tomorrow morning. So I'll sell it to you for 4 cents on the dollar. No, I'm selling it to you for full price. And he doesn't have the money? Don't worry about it. It's still okay. Vafilu, I underline the last underline on the page. Vafilu m'lefa'am ha'goy ani. If you couldn't even collect $100,000 from him, he's not even worth that. But you know what? Once he says, I owe you $100,000, guess what? Is there anyone here in this room who ever took out a mortgage? You take out a mortgage for $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. Do you have $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000? True. But when you borrow money, you're not borrowing money because you have the money, otherwise you don't need to borrow it. You're borrowing the money because over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 20, 10, 20, 30 years, you're going to be earning money, and that money that you earn will pay off the loan that you're borrowing. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's exactly what happens. It's not that the guy has to have $100,000 right now. It's that he's committing to pay $100,000, and therefore, as the years unfold, he will, little by little, go to work, and he'll be able to pay you back what he owns. And that's all you need. And that's enough. And therefore, look at the last line with this. We'll finish. Afa bisha go yodea. He knows shekach derech darkon shel Yisrael limkor v'lachs v'liknos mimenu. Every year he sells it a week earlier and he buys it back a week later. The guy, the Yisrael, sells it before Passover, sells it back a week after the day after Passover. Yesh lismach al zeh. Everything's good and everything is fine. And therefore the Chasam Sofer says nothing wrong with mechiras chametz. And the Sivis says nothing wrong with mechiras chametz. It's just the Bechor Shor who had that critique, which is rejected by the majority of the Achronim. So that's the story behind the Harama, and therefore, according to Bechor Shor, Mechiras Chametz is not cool at all, and shouldn't work on a Doraisa, and shouldn't work on Chametz Kamar. According to the majority of the Achronim, we do not hold from that Bechor Shor.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.